insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here.
You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, the only true and living God, who loves us so dearly, full of grace and mercy, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is Love According to the Bible, Part 3. My text is 1 John 4:8, which states, He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Agape and its verb form, agapeo, is one of the several Greek words for love. Agape love is a little different from the other Greek words for love. It is not a feeling. It is a motivation for action that we are free to choose or reject. Agape is a sacrificial love that voluntarily suffers inconvenience, discomfort, and even death for the benefit of another without expecting anything in return. We are called to agape love through Christ's example found in Ephesians 5, 1-2, which states, Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Agape love is the most supreme love of all and is an attribute of God and does not come naturally to humans. This type of love is supernatural, as Jesus displayed on the cross, found in Luke 23:34, which states, Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. This love is not as much a noun, a thing, or what is felt, but it is displayed by what someone does. I love is a verb. It is an action. It is what you do. Like Jesus dying for us while we were still sinners, as summed up in Romans 5:7-8, which states, For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many people do you know, or have you heard of, that died for their enemies? Jesus did. In fact, John 3:16 states, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And it is not a love that condemns, for John 3:17 states, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Agape love is selfish, selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. It is the highest of the four types of love in the Bible. This Greek word agape and variations of it are frequently found throughout the New Testament. Agape perfectly describes the kind of love Jesus Christ has for his Father and for his followers. Agape is the term that defines God's immeasurable, incomparable love for humankind. It is his ongoing, outgoing, self-sacrificing concern for lost and fallen people. God gives this love without condition, unreservedly, to those who are undeserving and inferior to himself. A simple way to summarize agape is God's divine love. One important aspect of agape love is that it extends beyond emotions. It is much more than a feeling or sentiment. Agape love is active. It demonstrates love through actions. A perfect example of agape love expressed through actions is the all-encompassing love of God for the entire human race, which caused him to send his son, Jesus Christ, to die and thus save every person who would believe in him. Another meaning of agape in the Bible was love feast, a common meal in the early church, expressing Christian brotherhood and fellowship. Jude 12 states, "These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried away about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." The false teachers exemplify depravity and impurity. Jude compares the false teachers to hidden reefs that will suddenly destroy ships that come too near. These opponents of the gospel constitute concealed dangers because they participate in the love feast, including the Lord's Supper, thus acting as if they were Christians. They do not shepherd and care for others, but only look out for themselves. They are like waterless clouds, promising rain, but that never falls. They promise fruit, but are like fruitless trees. Jesus gave us all a new command. John 13, 34 and 35 states, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." This is a love that is apologetic in nature, assures everyone that we are Jesus' disciples. Notice Jesus said that everyone will know that we are his disciples if we love one another. So this love is action. In action is evidence for inside the church, but also for outside the body of Christ, so that unbelievers will see the love of God displayed. When we love unconditionally, we show the world that we are different and love one another in a way that is not found in the world. It should act as a magnet to attract and draw people to Christ as they see Christ's love open and displayed in the children of God. The test of whether we love God or are just pretending is mentioned by the Apostle John, who wrote in 1 John 4:20, that if a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, who he has seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Love is a verb. It is action-oriented. It is a love of God that must necessarily come with a love of others. We can say we love God, but if we hate our brothers and sisters, we are only lying to God, because 1 John 2:9 states, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now." Agape love is the greatest love there is, and this is the love that God has for his own children, and the love that was displayed in action on the cross. This is the very love of God, and it is a divine, self-sacrificing love that the Apostle John writes about in 1 John 4:10, where it is said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Agape love is willing to die to self and live for others. And that might even include giving one's life to save another, just as Jesus did. We cannot have this kind of love without God's Spirit, for it is not humanly attainable. After a summer rest, bird flu is back. Bird flu is spreading again as waterfowl migrate. In poultry, cases are spiking earlier than expected. So some state officials are bracing for a challenging autumn. October 9, 2025, NBC by Evan Bush. It was a quiet summer for bird flu. Egg prices fell a bit. Fewer sick poultry flocks were selected on farms, and officials took a breath. It was lovely, said Shauna Voss, the assistant director of the Minnesota Board of Animal Health. But it didn't last. Bird flu is spreading again. Now that wild waterfowl, geese, ducks, and cranes have begun their seasonal migrations. As the birds travel, they migrate at lakes and ponds and share viruses. In poultry, bird flu causes cases are spiking earlier than expected. More than 4 million poultry birds have been selected in the last month in states including Minnesota and Iowa, after members of their flock tested positive for the virus called H5N1. The trend corresponds to a spike in infections detected among wild birds in northern states. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is God is Just. There is concern for justice in our world today. However, to achieve justice for the world, we must better understand how God views it. God is merciful, but Scripture also tells us that he is a just God who will judge injustice and wrongs. God sees the hearts and minds of men and will judge all men. Nelson Mandela was the first black president of South Africa, elected after spending 27 years in prison for his anti-apartheid work. God took Mandela from prison to president, and in 1993, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. His story reminds me of 1 Peter 2:23, which says, "He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly." As you can see through Mandela's 27 years in prison, life is not fair. We probably learned that first when we didn't get the larger half of the donut, or when one of our siblings got to go somewhere special while we were at school. As we got older, we might have learned about the lack of fairness a little more harshly, perhaps through wrongful accusations, denied promotions, or unmet expectations. It is easy to be disappointed with the unfairness of life. When wrongfully accused or misunderstood, it's hard not to take it to heart, and we usually want to defend our reputation. However, when faced with these situations, we can rest in the knowledge that God is just. He will judge everyone fairly. Hebrews 10:30 says, "For we know him who said, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' and again, 'The Lord will judge his people.'" Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. But the good news is that God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey his word, and take purposeful action for his glory. Stay encouraged, my friends, and keep looking up. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.